I'm Francine, host of Coping to Care, sponsored by Blue Sea Care, where we feature guests who share how you can achieve complete well-being. Today, we'd like to welcome Orange County Fire Authority Public Information Officer, Captain Ben Gonzalez, and Brandy Najum, Community Relations and Education Supervisor. They're going to share with us today all sorts of tips and advice on senior health and safety. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. I'm very glad to be here and looking forward to passing on a lot of good information. So I'm ready to go, and I know Brandy is also.
Okay. Captain Gonzalez, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How long have you been with the Orange County Fire Authority?
Well, I've been with the Fire Authority. I know this will sound a little different, for 8 years, but I worked for the City of Santa Ana for almost 28 till the Fire Authority took over the City of Santa Ana. So I've basically been in the fire service almost coming up on 35 years. So I've been around a little while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's great because you're going to have a wealth of information for us.
Yeah, I'll give what I can. I've been around a little while, and I've seen a lot, and I've been fortunate enough to go through the ranks, be a CERT instructor, community response team instructor. So that's good. We pass a lot of information there, paramedic, and all the different things. So I'm excited to be here and pass on all the good information and make sure everybody's safe out there is what the whole thing is.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much. So let's start with what are some of the key things to know and do to ensure fire safety for seniors?
Well, for us, the most important thing is to a working smoke detector. That's the most important thing because we want early detection for people to get out if there is a fire. Some things that people don't think about for a lot of people, whatever age they are, closing their door, simple as closing their door, will hold a fire in check for a long time, up to 20 minutes or so, depending on the type of door. So depending on if a person has some type of disability where they may not be able to get out right away, just that have the sleep at night with your door closed, the alarm detector going off, your door closed, will allow you or us to get either through the window to get you out or make entry through the front door to get to you and get you out. So simple as that. But most importantly, have a smoke detector. If you can, a working fire extinguisher is always good, and a plan, an escape plan also. So if you're either by yourself and or as a family, to know where you will be in case you get out, because that's the biggest thing. As the first in company officer, I need to know, is the most important thing is everybody out of the house. And if not, if you have a neighbor, let's say we live in a community where there's a lot of elderly, for example, we'll use that for example, the next door neighbors, tell the neighbors, if there's a fire, this is where I will be. So when we come up, the neighbors will say, so-and-so should be here. She's not standing here. She told us if there was a fire, she would be here. That may tell us either she's not home or she still may be in the residence. If you're leaving, let people know if you're by yourself that you're going to be gone for a while. So a lot of little factors. But to me, the most important thing is a smoke detector. That is the most important thing, early detection.
How often should you check the smoke detector to make sure it's working?
You know, with the smoke detectors are getting so advanced now, they last up to 10 years. But it's always good just to check, depending on the if it's an older model, we usually want to change the batteries. Most smoke detectors now are lasting up to 10 years, but at least once a year. Once a year, push the button, make sure that it's sounding and working effectively. So that's important. Always want to make sure that there. And if you do, a lot of people, we go to a lot of homes. And again, it's a variety of age, but I think we're kind of talking toward the elderly right now, if that's okay. The people will hear a beep and they won't understand what that is. So just a reminder, people, if you hear a beep and it's kind of coming from somewhere you're not sure, a lot of times people aren't recognizing that it's a smoke detector. The battery is low and it needs to be changed. So either pushing the button or listening for that low battery warning to tell you that we need to put a new battery in there. And more than times than often, I've changed many batteries or even sometimes occasionally install the smoke detector for people, but it's important. I always ask when I go on calls, do you have a smoke detector? And if not, we make sure that we get them to who needs them or find out or let them know where they can get one, because that, I can't tell you how many lives smoke detectors have saved.
I believe it. My mom was an avid reader, and she was boiling something, and she left to go finish her book and forgot, and then somehow the kitchen caught fire, and the smoke detectors went off, and they saved her. So on that note, Are there things that seniors can do to remember so that they don't accidentally burn down the kitchen or burn down the house while cooking, or, you know, maybe set off a timer or something to really ensure that they, as they get older and are more forgetful, that they do everything they can to prevent a fire in their own home?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if Brandy has some more specifics to that, because you do deal a lot with home safety, correct, Brandy? So maybe that's something I could can I turn it to you now, Brandy, and talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Okay, let me turn it to Brandy in regards to that, because that would be a good one for her right now. So let me turn
okay,
that
sure,
her.
Great.
Yeah, so as far as cooking safety is concerned, we obviously recommend the use of a kitchen timer. That is always something that's good to have. It's easy for us to get distracted nowadays, whether there is a knock at the door, maybe the phone rings, if you have grandkids over, you know, a tug at the leg, asking for grandma or grandpa, it's really easy to get distracted. So the use of a kitchen timer is always a good thing. Couple other things to remember is to make sure that before you even start cooking, that your surface is clean, that there's nothing next to it, maybe some extra paper towels or any other debris that could cause a fire to happen. So making sure that that space is nice and clear and cleaned up is also a good reminder. And to always check your oven. We find that there are a lot of seniors who like to use their oven for storage. We obviously don't recommend that. So making sure that you double check to make sure that there's nothing in there ahead of time before you start cooking is also something that could help keeping yourself safe when you're in the kitchen cooking.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. So back to you, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
So since seniors often take many different medications, what's the best way to ensure that this information is available in case of emergency? I hear about this vial for life.
Yeah, on our website, we have they can go to our website, and we have what's called a residential medical information form. And on this form, it gives basically, it breaks down the patient information, any kind of family contact, hospital preference, primary care, things like that, medications that they take or medical history, et cetera, et cetera. So this is something that, especially if they're by themselves, is huge for us to render quicker aid for us, because we understand a little bit more about what's going on with the patient. A lot of this can be if the patient could keep their medications in one spot is really huge, in a bag on the kitchen counter or anything like that is really important. And or if there are certain medications that are in the refrigerator, make a note either on this form, or if they decide not to fill out this type of form, to have a note stuck to like a yellow sticky note to that to say more medications in the refrigerator, which is very helpful for us too. Generally, when we come in, if the patient cannot answer us for any reasons, we generally go straight to the bathroom. A lot of people keep their medications in there. A lot of people keep them in their kitchen or on the kitchen table, something like that. But if there's any way that everybody can keep them in one location, that would be fantastic. But if we could have this form filled out when we come in, whether they're conscious or unconscious, it makes our treatment, lessens the questions we have to ask them, render the quicker aid, and fill in what we need to do and get them to the hospital quicker. So this is an amazing form that answers a lot of questions as first responders to get the treatment as quick as possible and the proper treatment.
So when they fill out the form, do they put it on the refrigerator on a magnet, or where do they
you know what?
The form?
That can be on the refrigerator for us, because that's a good place too. We start to look to see if they have any information, because a lot of people will just put their name and address on a refrigerator just for us too. A lot of people are ahead of the game for us. And or again, if they have a box of or a bag of medication, just simply, and I know it might be hard to see, but just simply take this form, fold it up, and put it in the box or in an envelope in with all their medications. So anywhere that it's accessible, quick and easy, we'll take it. But again, this is a nicety, but at least have your medications together. That's just a big thing for us. If anything, just have all your medications together. That's what we're really trying to do to understand what may be going on if the person is unable to speak to us or unconscious.
Great. That's wonderful, because I know that is critically important as people get older. And then once they're in the hospital, it's very helpful that they have that information to begin their care. Now on to the falls. I know many seniors fall. How do you prevent falls? They, you know, but it's hard to tell them, hey, you're 85 years old. You can't be getting up on the ladder, you know, and you need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Did you? I think I did. So how do you ensure that they don't get dehydration, heat exhaustion, et cetera?
Well, I'm sure depending on the individual, I think there's many ways, just almost like with Brandy mentioned a few minutes ago about a timer. You know, as simple as maybe keeping cups on the counter. There's 8 cups. And as you drink a cup of water, you take one away and you look on the counter and there's still 7 to go. That might be a trick for somebody, you know, just like the timer. When you're cooking, you turn the timer on to remind you. So I'm sure there's little tricks to do that. But what's what's really important is definitely drinking whatever fluid it may be, whatever hydrates. We always like to push water, especially with the heat right now that's going on. People staying cool, hydrated is most important. But also, you know, eating proper meals, you know, depending on the weather, again, something that is very nutritious, that's not too filling, so that people aren't uncomfortable taking your medications at the same time. All those combinations of those three are important to us as far as that. But you're absolutely right. Water is huge. Drinking as much water as possible. I know a lot of people, including myself, drink a few cups of coffee in the morning, but I should be drinking more water in the morning. You know, I don't catch up till the afternoon, but, you know, I definitely myself have to get better at drinking water. But I'll get there eventually. Coffee just tastes so good sometimes. It's hard not to drink coffee.
Right.
But as far as your home, you know, there's a list of things too. And all these things that we're talking about also is Brandy will cover too. Their handouts, or they can read on our website. And for example, I'm looking at one of our pages. It talks about senior fall protection. And it goes through managing our meals, meds, and exercises, making your home safe. And here's an interesting one too. At the end of it, it talks about having your eyes checked. And we'll get that into a second. But as I read some of these things, it talks about a grab bar, putting non-slip mats in your bathtub or on your floors, because that's what a lot of calls we go on are falls. Either a lot of them are mechanism, if you will, walking and just tripping over the carpet or slipping on the wet floor. So making sure you have a good pair of shoes, you know, that have good, some type of rubber sole slippers. They make those slippers because a lot of slippers have the slippery sole on them. As I mentioned earlier, the bathtubs. You know, putting cute little duckies or something on the tub so you don't slip or fall, you know, something to that effect, you know, in the kitchen, being aware, you know, if you're drinking that much water, make sure you don't spill the water because you can slip in the kitchen as easily. And unfortunately, we see so many falls in the elderly that we want to make sure the carpets, if you have loose carpets or the throw rugs, you know, if they're not necessary, pick those up and move them to the side or put them out of the way, you know, picking up your shoes or, you know, other things too, is I know a lot of elderly people have animals, you know, cats or things like that. And sometimes they run between their feet and they can fall. So all these things we have to be aware of. But also, as it talks about, it says here, we talk about getting your eyes checked too, because as we get older, and even myself, you see,
yeah, I was adjusting my glasses.
I'm kind of like this a couple of times. I can see it, but you know, having your eyes checked too is important. You know, I know we all want to fight the time clock, but you know, as you can see, I lost, so I have to wear my glasses to read certain things to see things. But it's not bad. So having your eyes checked is simple as that too. So a lot of things depending on the person, you know, and you talked about everybody wants to climb the ladder. I get it. People still want to stay very independent, but at the same time, be thoughtful, be careful. And if you're going to do something, let people know. If you're going to be doing something that could potentially put you in a bad situation, let them know. Or a lot of people have the alarms now that you know, we've all seen those. If they fall on a life alert type of mechanism, get those, because that's something that they could push and we'll be there in no time also. And on that note, if I could, I don't know if this is going to come down, but I want to talk about having some type of either notification to our communication or dispatch, if they have where a hide key may be, and or if there's a lock box on the house or some way that, because a lot of times, a lot of people keep their home locked up, and that is very difficult for us to get in at times. So we have a way of, if they reach out to their local fire station or dispatch, we can put in our notes, and the notes we only see on the rig. Nobody else can see these notes, that there is a key hid away somewhere specifically to help us open the door. Or if they have a lockbox on the front, the code to the lockbox for us to get in. So that's always important too, because people, sometimes the elderly, if you will, lock themselves up so tight we can't get in, and we don't want to cause any damage to the home by having to do forcible entry. So if there's some kind of device, or if they're on the phone, let us know there's a key somewhere or the code. So that's just another tool for us to make quicker access and treat the people quick. That's our whole goal, is to get there and take care of the people. That's what we do here in the Fire Authority.
That's a very good point. I know that my mom had it under like a little turtle. It was so obvious. We all knew where the key was.
Yeah, sometimes people have plants in their front patio, and they say it's under the plant. And we walk up, there's like 20 plants sitting on the deck.
Oh,
so
oh my gosh. Oh my
but that's gosh. Okay. You know what? That's okay. We just want to be able to get in as quick as we can.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. So we're going to move on to Brandy and have her talk a little bit, and then we'll go back and see if there's anything that you want to add later on. How's
okay,
that?
Okay, yeah, we'll come back there. We'll talk a little more about fire extinguishers if we could when we come back.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Blue Sea Care provides comprehensive care management to seniors and their families. Services include complete physical care for seniors who want to maintain their independence and state of health. The caregiving is combined with Art to Wellness, a program which uses the therapeutic benefits of the arts to assist with cognitive care for seniors. You can learn more about Blue Sea Care's programs at www.blueseacare.com.
So, Brandy, you're the expert on drowning prevention, especially for seniors. So can we talk a little about, considering this is summer, can you talk a little bit about that? And actually, it's probably something that they need to look at year round.
Yeah, absolutely. Year round for sure, especially here in California. We've got nice weather. So, you know, a lot of people have a misconception that you need a big body of water in order to drown, when the reality to the situation is we can drown in a couple inches of water. That's all that it takes. So I'd love to start with some statistics. I'm a numbers person. I think numbers are important. So to be able to look back at last year, so 2019 in Orange County alone, we had 114 drownings. The thing with drowning is that it's preventable. Okay. So you see a number like that and you just think, how could we have educated more? Were they not aware? What did they not realize? It's preventable. So what are some things we need to look at? Well, who does it impact most? Most of the time we see it impacting young children, maybe 4 or younger, or adults that are 50 plus. Okay. So obviously, as we're talking to seniors today, you guys would fall within that category, but also as you have your grandkids over, maybe you're going to their house or they're coming to see you and they're swimming at a community pool. It's really important that you know a couple things about drowning prevention. So what I'd like to do is break down a couple of reasons and a couple of things that we see in adult drownings and also in child drownings. Most of the time when we see child drownings, it's a result of a lapse in supervision or a lack of barriers. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. For adults, it has more to do with intoxication or medical conditions. So we at Orange County Fire Authority like to talk about the ABCs of water safety. The A stands for active adult supervision. Whether you're watching your grandkids or whether you're swimming in the pool, you should never be alone, okay? You should always have a buddy with you. If you're gonna go swim laps in the pool to get your exercise in, make sure you bring a friend, because more often than not, when you have an issue, if there's nobody there, that's when a lot of the drownings can occur. If someone's there, they can react, they can call 911, they can help you out of the water, and they can, you know, dispatch can help them, you know, start some care if they have the ability to do so. So that's what the A stands for. The B is for barriers. And this is anything from your self-latching gates to pool or spa covers, even alarms that you can get where if you open a door, the alarm goes off. Anything that can notify a parent or a grandparent that somebody has gotten out. Even elderly that have dementia, right? This is an important piece of the puzzle. If you have a community pool, these are things that you need to think about. So making sure that there's multiple layers of barriers is also essential. And then of course, our C stands for classes. Take swim classes. If you are not a strong swimmer, take some swimming lessons. If you don't know CPR and basic first aid, you really should look into taking a class. That pretty much completes the ABCs of our water safety. We try to keep it really simple because in an emergency situation, most of us panic, right? So the simpler we can keep it, the easier it's going to be for us to provide help and to respond accordingly.
Very good. Very good. Now on to disaster preparedness. So how do seniors plan for disaster preparedness? And maybe you could talk a little bit about COVID-19 too. That's kind of a disaster right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, pandemics are 100% a disaster. Interestingly enough, less than 50% of us are actually prepared for a disaster. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's so much information out there. There's so many things that can be considered disasters. A lot of people don't know where to start. They see the statistics. You talk about some of the steps that we're going to take today and they get overwhelmed. So again, I'm going to try to keep it really simple. Three things that we want you to do here from Orange County Fire Authority that will help you prepare for a disaster. And again, all of these resources are available on our website and we'll give you some more information on that. But step one in disaster preparedness is to have a plan. You've got to know who your key players are. Do you live alone? Are you living with someone else? If you do live alone, who are your neighbors? Who are people that are surrounding you that you could come together and gather your resources so that you have a plan if a disaster happens, right? Basic information that we have on our website, we have a family disaster plan that you can pull up. It's basically going to list everybody in your family, contact information. It's going to get you thinking. Evacuation routes. If you have to evacuate, how do you get in and out of your community? I tell people all the time, we have phones nowadays, but remember the days when we had Thomas guides, right? You need to have a Thomas guide, right? Highlight those routes in and out of your neighborhood because most of us are creatures of habit. So we like to go in and out the same way. Give yourself the time when your head is clear and you're not panicked to make sure you have alternate routes. And this is going to help you with that. This is also going to help list where our meeting spot is. If we do have to evacuate, where are we going to meet? If we just run outside of our homes, where are we meeting? Are we meeting by the tree? Are we going down to the end of the cul-de-sac? What does that look like? Because like Captain Gonzalez says, when our fire department is responding, the first thing that they care about is life. So they're going to ask, is everybody out of the home? Is everyone accounted for? Do we know if anybody's inside? The easiest way to make that determination is to establish that meeting spot. So this plan is really just going to help give individual responsibilities to people. Maybe you're really good at planning and coordinating, and so you're the perfect person to put the plan together. Maybe you love to shop and you love to get supplies together. Well, you would be the perfect person to put together a kit, right? If you're passionate about construction, you're somebody that could, you know, take a look around outside maybe after an earthquake and be able to establish, you know, is there a gas leak? Is there a water leak? Those types of things. So you got to know your friends and your neighbors, the people that are close to you, so you can establish a good plan. Okay. The second step is to have a kit. Again, on our website, we have a list of recommended items. Most people don't have disaster kits. And if you ask them why, they say, I don't know what to put in a kit. The good news is that there's no right or wrong way. Whatever you think you need to survive for at least 3 days, but ideally 7 to 10, is what should go in that kit, right? Things like food, things like water, a change of clothes, maybe some radios, right? Flashlights, blankets, medications, right? If you really love peanut butter, then guess what? Throw some peanut butter in your disaster kit, okay? If you, if your grandkids, there's potential for your grandkids to come over. Maybe you need a book or a stuffed animal, some type of item of comfort for them. An earthquake could happen when you're babysitting, right? So really making sure that you have a kit that is in your home, a kit that's in your car is also a good idea. And you want to make sure that it's portable. We find people put them in these big bins and then they can't move them if they need to. So find a suitcase or a duffel bag on wheels so that it's easy to move if you need to move it. And then the last step would be to address your home hazards. And this is as simple as walking around, making sure that your connections to your washer and your dryer are flexible so that, you know, most of the time when an earthquake happens, we're not so much worried about the earthquake. We're worried about the water and about the fire that can happen as a result, right? So having those flexible connections is important. Securing any heavy objects to the walls or, you know, to the rooms that you're in, obviously making sure ceiling fans are secured. Those types of things are steps that we can take in the kitchen, especially moving heavy dishes. down to lower shelves is also important. Again, all things that we can do now to prepare for when a disaster will occur.
Great. Well, then on that note, a fire extinguisher plays a part in all that.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll go back to Captain Gonzalez.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Captain Ben.
Back over here, 6 feet away.
Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if you have a specific question, but I wanted to just emphasize extinguishers since we talked about them. If you do have a fire in your house, you're saying, well, how do I know if I can put it out or not? Well, we generally say if it's the size of a small trash can, like the size you find in, like, say, your example, your bathroom, those small little trash cans, if it's any bigger than that, don't try to extinguish it, okay? Just get out of the house. So if you're able to and you can get to your extinguisher and you see it's a small fire, attempt to extinguish it. Always we want to say get out of the house first. That's a priority. Always exit the home. But if you can, that's important. Think about it. Is it no bigger than a trash can and you have your extinguisher handy? You might be able to put it out. If you can't, as I talked about earlier, close the door behind you. Let's say it's in a bedroom or a bathroom or something like that. Close the door behind you. Again, that'll hold the fire in check. Most of these doors will hold the fire anywhere from 20 minutes or greater, depending on the door. But that'll also save a lot of damage from throughout. We've had fires that have been in bedrooms, completely gutted the bedroom. The door was closed. The rest of the house is in good shape because of the smoke and soot. Maybe it got a little bit out, but it saved it from spreading through the house. So they can remember that too. And one of the most important things is I know a lot of people think about when they have they talk about cooking fires, maybe grease or something on the stove. Never put water on a grease fire. That's okay. The one thing, because if you throw water on that, it's going to cause the grease to splash and even make a bigger fire. Okay. If you have an extinguisher, it's handy. If you keep one in your kitchen, attempt to put it out. But most importantly, we don't ask anybody to fight the fires. That's our job. We want you to be safe and get out of the house immediately. But just remember, water on a grease fire is no good. It'll just spread the fire even faster. Once it'll hit the grease and splash, the water will splash and cause the fire to spread even way faster than if it was isolated to the pan. So just something to be aware of. I don't know if you have some more questions or if I've kind of covered fire extinguisher safety.
Sure. Just speaking about the grease fire, I just thought of things that have happened in the past. What about if grease splashes on you and you burn yourself? What do you put on a burn?
Okay, that's a good question. But here's even just take it one back further. And I kind of saw Brandy out of the corner of my eye, and I think she was probably thinking the same thing. If you have a lid on the fire, and if you can cover the fire, if it's a small enough fire to put the lid on the pan, that'll extinguish it because it'll take the oxygen out of the way. But again, be careful if you're putting a lid on a fire that you don't get burned. But that'll extinguish the fire quite simply too. I kind of caught that from Brandy over there. I could see she was on the seat, wanted to say that. So put a lid on it. Put a lid on a pan if you can, but be careful. Don't burn yourself. But if not, if you do get something on you, the best treatment to do, if you get grease or something hot, is cool water. Put yourself under cool water initially, just to cool it down. Don't rub anything on it. Don't try to wipe it off. Just run cool water. And if you're very concerned, if it starts to blister or anything like that, or if you're concerned, period, if it's ready, don't hesitate to call us. Don't hesitate to call 911. The fire authority will come out, take a look at it. Make suggestions, treat you, or get you to the hospital as quick as possible. But the best thing you can do is just simple water, just cool, tepid water. It doesn't have to be ice cold, not hot, just tepid water from the faucet, and just continue to run on it and cool it on there. Don't put any, there's a lot of ointments out there. There's a lot of old school theories. Don't put anything on it. Water for now, and then let a doctor look at it and let them determine what's the best treatment for a burn or something that you may spill on yourself. Okay.
And then one more question, because we went to dinner at a friend's house way before COVID-19, and we had a fire in the kitchen, and we were just panicked because we didn't have a fire extinguisher. So I think we used either salt or baking soda, and that put the fire out. I don't remember. Is it salt or baking soda? Which one of those can you use?
Baking soda, baking powder, or some kind of powder, because technically, that's kind of what an extinguisher is. It's a powder, and that's basically what it's doing is smothering the fire and doing that. Something like that. Again, I'm not going to suggest it. It does work, but I'm not going to suggest it because an extinguisher allows you to stand back anywhere from 3 to 5 feet to hit the fire and extinguish it. With something like that, you literally have to get close to put that on there. Will it work? It's like an extinguisher. It's a powder that'll cover it and smother the fire. By no means do I recommend it. We always want you to have an extinguisher and or just get out of the house. That's what's most important. But attempting to get a box of baking powder, baking soda, and put it on there, you can see how close I am to the fire.
Oh,
and that's,
right. It's scary.
So,
yeah.
So, but we would prefer extinguisher because you're at least 3 to 5 feet back away from it. And you want to definitely, some most residential ones, an ABC, like a, like a 2.5 pound, 5 pound ABC extinguisher. You can get them at any local hardware store, Walmart. What are some of the other stores these days? Target, Costco. So a lot of people can just, they don't need anything big. Just what do you recommend, Brandy? I'll turn it to Brandy here for a second. She can make some good recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the ABC extinguishers are the best one to use. The ABC obviously stands for the fire classifications. And when we talk about our top three causes of fire in the home, we're looking at cooking, we're looking at home heating, and we're looking at electrical. So those extinguishers are specifically meant for those types of fires. Again, readily available, you know, hardware stores, even like you said, you know, Target, wherever, they are readily available. Therefore, you should have one.
Okay.
You know, we would like for you ideally to have one in your kitchen, one in your garage. And it's really not a bad idea to have one upstairs if you have an upper level as well.
Okay. And as far as how to use them, they kind of are a little bit intimidating.
Yep.
Do you give lessons on using the fire extinguisher?
We do. We do fire extinguisher trainings. We have a word that we like to use when it comes with the extinguishers. The word is pass. And it stands for pulling the pin. Aiming at the base of the fire. Obviously, that's where the origin of the fire is, somewhere on the base. You basically squeeze the handle, and then we want you to sweep from side to side to cover the entire base of the fire so that it is extinguished. We do offer those classes, and on most of the boxes that you purchase your fire extinguisher on, it will give you detailed information on how to use them as well. But for seniors, it's important for you guys to make sure that you practice lifting them as well, because they do get kind of heavy sometimes. We don't have the wrist strength to be able to use it. So to be able to support it on either your hip or on a level surface to use it is also something that you can do.
Right. Yeah. Some of us can't even open a jar.
Right.
You know, arthritis in the fingers, you know.
Right. And it, and like Captain Ben said, the most important thing is to get out. If you can, you know, if you have the ability to turn off the burner, smother it, and just get out, that's the best case scenario. If you're nervous that you can't open the jar, you probably won't be able to squeeze the extinguisher. So in that situation, getting out and letting our firefighters do their job is best.
Excellent. Okay. Well, anything else either of you would like to add?
No, we just appreciate the opportunity to be here. And, you know, all the information that we went over today, you can find on our website. If you just go to OCFA.org and you click under safety, there's a bunch of safety flyers that you can get in multiple different languages, anything from fire safety to disaster preparedness, drowning prevention, and a little bit in between. And we'd love to be able to provide you with those resources so you can visit us there.
Okay, so it's OCFA.org.
That's
Orange
correct.
County Fire Authority.org.
Yes.
Okay, and then is there, I know you guys are, have lots of wisdom. So is there a word or quote that you can share with us as a takeaway?
As far as like from the fire department or for like me personally?
Personally and fire department, either is great.
I mean, I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, we're here for you guys. We are a department that serves communities, and we want to be that for you. So anything that we can do to help clarify any questions that you have that need to be answered, if you want us to come out to an event, we are here for you. So that I think would be my fire department encouragement as we go. And then for me, you know, both personally and professionally, I try to live my life full of gratitude. So one of my favorite quotes is, that gratitude is a magnet for miracles. So I'll leave you with that, and I'm going to pass it over to Captain Ben because I'm sure he's got some good ones.
Very nice.
I don't know about good ones, but one thing that we have on our, you'll see it ever, is in service of others. And that's what here in the Fire Authority, we take pride in serving the community of Orange County with quick response, all of our training, everything that we do. And again, on behalf of Chief Hennessy and the Orange County Fire Authority, the men and women, you know, this, thank you for the opportunity to get the word out to everybody to be safe. And you know what? We're there. If you see us on a call or you see us at the store or wherever it may be, please come up. If you have questions, don't hesitate to ask us. That's what we're here for, to answer any questions, and be your service whenever you need, for whatever you need. So, and my saying is, and it's a tribute to a little girl that has unfortunately passed away, but I say life is beautiful, and that's what I live by. And thank you. We just thank you very much for allowing us. And if you need anything from us in the future, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. We'd love to do another one of these down the road to help whatever subjects you may need.
Great. Thank you so much. And Blue Sea Care would also like to thank the Seal Beach Fire Department for allowing us to use their community room for many, many years to do our Art to Wellness program. So we teach painting to seniors. So we truly appreciate that. Since March, we've had to do the program online. But once, we can't wait to get back to the classroom there, because the seniors love it. And we did present the Seal Beach Fire Department with a painting from one of the seniors as a way to show our appreciation. So we may send a nice painting your way too.
Well, we will definitely put it up either in Brandy's office or my office here at headquarters and show it off for sure. We truly appreciate that. So again, if there's anything else we can do, please let us know. And thank you so much for allowing us to share some of our information with your listeners or your viewers too.
Okay. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.